Ephesians 1, 15 through 19 says, "Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Now you can see that upon learning about the faith of the saints in Ephesus, the men of God and their love, for all God's people, their love for all believers, and their love for all Christians. Now the man of God is filled with joy and gratitude. He is filled, is expressing his joy and gratitude, and he says, since I heard of it, I do not cease to give thanks to God for you, making mention of you in my prayers. It's interesting that the man of God is about to offer a prayer for them and to release a blessing upon them, right? He's making a sincere, heartfelt, persistent petition to God for those believers. And quite frankly, what he's praying for them is not just an absolutely astounding and outstanding request, but an expression of the very heart and the will of God for not just for these believers in Ephesus, but for us all. Are you hearing what I'm saying? What the man of God now is about to say and ask God for them, and in a way release a blessing upon them, it's not just something that comes from the man of God, but it is an expression of the very heart and the will of God, not just for the saints, but for the believers elsewhere, everywhere in the world. He's praying the heart of God is in the spirit at this point. He's expressing through his prayer the very heart and the will of God for us all believers. "Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power." Why is he praying for them this way? Why is he releasing such an amazing blessing upon this church in Ephesus? It is because of their faith. He mentions two things. He mentions their faith in Christ and also their love for all the saints. Please, that is key. He says, your love for all the saints, for all the people of God. The prayer he prays for them and thanks the Lord for them, it is conditioned. It is conditioned on their faith and on their love. Now, this is a conditional prayer. The thing that we've just read, these things, these blessings, these awesome graces of God that God has intended for all the Christians, they are conditioned. He didn't just pray for them. Now, he says, upon hearing that you are walking in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and upon hearing that you love all the saints, all the believers, all Christians, not just those that are in your church, but there is love within you towards the people of God. And now he begins to pray for them. Now it's amazing. He says, I make mention of you in my prayers and I thank God for you. Now he's always praying for them and thanking God for them. And he begins to say, what is this that is praying to God for them, right? And this is inspired in him by the Holy Spirit. Remember, we cannot really offer any prayer to God unless we are aided, we are held, we are guided, we are led by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit knows the thing that we need, and now he instills through the mouth in the tongue of Paul the very heart and the will of God. The word of God says, now abide faith, hope, and love. These three. Now abide faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Now abide, now remains. What does remain after everything is said and done? What does remain? You can make mention of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the power and everything like that, the anointing. But what does remain, what is the most important, are only three things. Now it says, this is the faith and the hope and the love. And the greatest of these is love. Now it's telling really if there is anything that we have to focus on, it is these three. Because everything else will come and it will go. But these things are there always. They will remain. After everything is said and done, the three, they will remain. And they are the most important in the kingdom of God. The most, the highest and the greatest. And of these three, the greatest is love. 1 Corinthians 13:13, you know the scripture very well. We're going to take it from the Amplified. And now there remain faith. Abiding trust in God and His promises. Abiding trust in God and His promises. Hope, that confident expectation of eternal salvation. Love, the unselfish love for others growing out of God's love for me. The unselfish love, unselfish faith in the promises of God. Love, that unselfish love for others growing out of God's love for me. Now it says these three, the choicest graces, but the greatest of these is love. Number one, Paul says he prays for us. So remember, the word of the Lord is written to all Christians, not just to the believers that were there at the time. But so the man of God, he prays for us that the Lord may give to us the spirit of wisdom and understanding in the knowledge of Him. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God, in the knowledge of His Christ, right? Now, why is this important? Because without the necessary faith in God, without the necessary faith in God and love for one another, without the necessary faith in God and love for one another, friends, we but abide in foolishness. We Christians, we abide in foolishness, and not only in foolishness, but in spiritual blindness. Failing to hear, failing to see, and to discern in the Spirit. Failing to discern. We have no discernment whatsoever unless we, children of God, like the saints in Ephesus, all right, we walk in love, in faith in the Lord and in love, not just towards one another, but towards all the believers, all Christians. Now, it is faith and love that is a cornerstone in the kingdom of God, the cornerstone in the church of Jesus Christ. And there are awesome, awesome blessings that are laid out that emanate from these two. And that is the motivation, the motive, the incentive for the prayer of the man of God through the Holy Spirit. Now, without the faith, without the love, we would fail dismally to hear, to see, to discern in the Spirit, or even to discern, to understand the Word of God. Friends, without the necessary faith and necessary love, we eventually become cold and we die in spirit. There are a lot of believers, a lot of Christians that have since become cold and actually they are dead in spirit. How do you know that a child of God is alive, is well and alive in the spirit? Number one, faith. Number two, their love. Faith and love, then you know that this believer is alive in spirit. Without love for every child of God, without love for every believer, for every Christian, we cannot know God. John says that he who does not love does not know God. That is huge. He that does not love another believer, he that does not love another Christian, another child of God, that one does not know. There's no mistake in Scripture. John says through the Holy Spirit, that one, no matter how much they can claim to know God, they can claim to know Christ, they can claim to do 1, 2, 3, and 4 in the Spirit, but it says, be rest assured that this particular child of God does not know God. So if a Christian does not know God, then whose Christian are this in the first place? To whom do they belong if they don't know Him? And if we don't know Him, we are also not known by Him. But the prayer continues. It says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, means without faith and love, we abide but in darkness and in the foolishness of our minds. A lot of us Christians, we have become darkened in our thoughts, darkened in our minds. We have since become foolish in our own heads, not walking in faith and not walking in love. These are the cornerstone, these are the pillars, fundamental principles in the kingdom of God for every child of God. The very first thing that the Holy Spirit, if the moment you get born again, the very first thing that the Holy Spirit will begin to do in your life are these two critical pillars of the church of in the kingdom of God and in a child of God. It is faith, it is love. It's faith because it causes you to believe in order to be saved. And the moment that begins to happen in your life, and these things happen simultaneously, you instantly, immediately fall in love with God. Instantly, immediately fall in love with God at the point that you are born again. If this has never happened in your life, you have never been born again. You have never, ever been born again. The very first thing that the Holy Spirit does in the life of a believer, number one, he helps us to believe God. And number two, fills us with love for God. That's critical. Then that love will grow from us falling in love with the Lord to us loving another believer. If that has not happened, you are not born again. The Bible says clearly that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. If it has never happened, you have never been born again. You have never been born again. This is what happens when we are born again. When every person gets born again. Remember, new birth is only possible through the Holy Spirit. You begin suddenly to believe Christ Jesus. Believe the Lord. And the next thing, you fall in love. It's supernatural. That faith is supernatural. That love is supernatural. It's not something that you try to do. You supernaturally, at that point, begin to fall in love with Him. That's what happens at the point that we are born again, at the junction from the which we are born again. And I'm going to say it for the last time. If that has never taken place to you, although you call yourself a Christian, a believer, you are not born again. You may be a Christian, you are not born again. There are a lot of people who call themselves Christians, but they've never been born again. So that means the person is not actually a Christian, is what they call themselves. You may be a believer, call yourself a believer, but you've never been born again. Because the only child of God is the one who's born again, who's got the Spirit of God inside them. Inside them. That the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. Without faith and without love, we abide in darkness and in the foolishness of our minds, having neither understanding, nor wisdom, nor spiritual common sense. It is spiritual common sense to love another Christian. It is spiritual common sense that does not need a sermon, that does not need a preaching, that does not need, honestly, does not need for a child of God to be told. It's spiritual common sense. And it's all those that are born of the Spirit of the Lord, that have the Spirit of the Lord dwelling on the inside of them, that know that. You don't need to be taught to love another believer. You don't need to be taught how to handle another believer. It comes out of you, out of who you are. It's a new nature in Christ. It is who you are in Him. You love out of who you are in Him. You do not love because it was preached to you. You do not love because you receive a teaching. You do not love, friends, because we're told to love. If you are struggling with loving another believer, I please begin to question, to doubt your own salvation. There is no one single child of God who has the Spirit of God in them that would struggle with loving another Christian, another believer, another child of God. Without faith, without love, we walk in the deception of our hearts as believers. We walk in deception. We are deceived. Professing to know God but denying Him. Professing to know the Lord but denying Him with our own attitude and behavior. Denying our own attitude, our own mentality, our thinking, all right? We deny Him with our own by our own behavior. We deny Him. The outward manifestation of our lives. The outward manifestation of your life. Love is a nature, it's like a root. It's a nature within. That's why it says be rooted in love. It's a nature, it's a root. Now that root begins to grow, and everything that comes out of that person, out of that tree, that child of God, it comes from love. It's a root. Now you see, there's no effort that to exert for the root to give birth to its own kind. There's no effort. There's no effort for the branch to bear. Because whatever the branch bears, it comes from the root. It comes from the source. What is the source? Bible says, be rooted and grounded in love. The key is the root. The issue is the root. The cornerstone, the pillar, the fundamental, the principle is the root. The beginning, the genesis. That is why it's a new nature. When you are born again, it must be the new nature in you. The new nature of God, the new nature of Christ in us. We now no longer know any man, any woman after the flesh, after who they are naturally. That is, those that are born again, those that have received Christ as their Lord and their Savior. The prayer of the men of God, it continues to say that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. Now, firstly, without love, without faith, as it were, without faith and love, we are lost, friends. Without, as Christians, without faith, without love, we are lost insofar as our calling, as our purpose, as our assignment, and our future in Christ are concerned. We are lost. We are lost. There is no one who's able to live for God or even to serve God unless they are rooted and they are grounded in the faith of God and in the love of God. It's impossible. It is impossible. Everything that we attempt to do without this, attempt to do in this manner, then we are really seriously missing the mark. We are missing the mark. There's a reason why we are saved. There's a reason why we are born again. There's a reason why we are here. There's a reason what we are here to do. That is where we are going hereafter. Now, that is the prayer that the man of God was offering. Without faith in Christ and unfeigned love for others, unfeigned love for the brethren. Please understand, when it talks in the scripture, when it writes, it talks about Christian. No, there's a reason why it does not say love for the world. It says love for believers, love for Christians. Why? Because we would fail dismally to love the world if we are failing to love ourselves. We cannot truthfully, truly love the world unless we love ourselves. As the Church of Jesus Christ, as the body of Christ. Without faith in Christ and unfeigned love for the brethren, we are truly lost, we are truly hopeless, we are truly pitiable. We, Christians of all people, we are to be pitied indeed. Without faith, without love, we would neither comprehend nor lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of us. That is the absolute blessedness that is for us in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as articulated in this prayer of Paul to God for the saints in Ephesus. And of course, it's for the whole church, it's for all believers. Now, it says something wonderful at the end of it. It says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? And what is the exceeding greatness? I marvel at the adjectives that this man of God always attempts to explain, to articulate the things of the Spirit, because it's difficult to explain, to express them in human language. Exceeding greatness. What does that mean in this instance? That means the very same power and the grace that rested upon Jesus. The very same power and the grace that rested upon Jesus now rest upon all God's people who walk in sincere faith and true love. This is the only time that we as believers can be there to walk in truth and to walk in power. It is when we have faith in Christ, sincere faith in the Lord, walking in sincere faith in Christ, and also in genuine love one for another. Otherwise, whatever we call power, whatever we call anointing that we say we have before God is pure nonsense. We can preach to move mountains, but without love for one another is pure rubbish. We can have big churches, small churches, medium churches, but unless we love one another, it is pure nonsense. It is garbage. It is nothing before God. God does not even regard it. The whole of the Christian life, the whole of the Christian life, it is rooted and grounded in faith and love. Rooted, grounded in faith and love. Everything else emanates from these. Everything else emanates, comes out of these. Our relationship with God, knowing Him. That's why it says in the knowledge of Him, knowing Him. It is because of it comes from our faith in Him and our love for one another. And of course, that love is not our love. It's the love that we are given. It's the grace of God. And of course, that faith is not the faith. It's not ours. We are given. It is a gift. It is the grace of God upon us. Friends, you know the scripture. I'm not even going to go and quote it, but you know it very well. So I'm just going to go ahead and tell you that we must not love in word only. You know, John teaches us very expressly about this. We must not love in word only, merely by what we say, only in theory. A lot of us, we love in theory. We know love in theory. We must not love giving only lip service. Our love should not be only words and talk. Love should not be only words and talk. Rather, love should be, as the word of God teaches us, love should be in deed and in truth. Love is in doing from a sincere heart, indeed doing in action, in truth. That means sincerely from the heart. Love should be real. Love is talking about, this is the love that he was recommending the believers in Ephesus for. Their love was real and practical. The love of God is real and practical. The love of Christians, the love that is in Christians, the love that was shed abroad in the hearts of Christians by the Spirit that the Lord gave them, that love is real and practical. If the love that we say we have for one another as believers, as Christians, it is not real and practical, it is definitely 100% not the love of God. It is not the love of Christ. For God so loved the world, and what did God do? He began to demonstrate that love practically. So the love that is of God, that is from God, and of course by the grace of God that now dwells in us. It is real. It is practical. We must show love for each other by the things we do. We must show love for each other by the things we do, not merely by the things we say, but by the things that we do. We must show love through actions that are sincere and genuine. Actions that are sincere and genuine from the heart, not through empty words. A lot of us, we love through empty words, empty, vain words. Empty, vain words. And thus, friends, deceiving ourselves in this manner as Christians. Ours should be true love, and we must show it by what we do. This is the kind, as I said, of love that this man of God was recommending these Christians for. And now, here's a wonderful and a beautiful thing. This is the love that unlocks. This is the love that unlocks the mysteries and the realities of a life in Christ. Come on, go to his prayer. That's what he's saying. He says, the hope of your calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, the exceeding greatness of his power towards us that believe. This is the love that unlocks the mysteries and the realities of a life in Christ. There are mysteries and realities of our being in Christ. The life of being in Christ is called mysteries and realities. But how do we unlock the mysteries and the realities? He just told you that we ought to walk in faith and in love. Faith in God and love towards all believers. And love that is unfeigned. Love that is sincere, that is genuine. Love that is real, that is practical. Love that is from the heart. And this, by the way, it is a commandment. It's not a suggestion. It's not a nice to do. It's not a nice to have. It's not something that, you know, it would be nice for you to consider. No, no, no. It's a must as a believer in the kingdom of God. And I'm going to say this again because I really fail to really emphasize this one. Love is a root. It is a nature. When you are born again, that you receive a new nature of Christ. It is this nature of Christ that enables us to grow into being like Christ. No one can grow into being like Christ unless they receive that nature. How do we receive that nature? We receive that nature when we get born again. That's why it's born. It's a new birth. Everything becomes new. God does not renovate. He does not reform. No, 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 no. He gives totally brand new. The nature of Christ in us. 1 John 3:18 through 20 from the Message Bible. The word of the Lord says, my dear children, let's not just talk about love. Let's practice real love. This is the only way we'll know we are living truly, living in God's reality. This is the only way to live in the reality of the life in Christ, the only way. Can you see that? This is what is underscoring. The reality of God, the reality of Christ can only be experienced and lived through faith and love. The reality of God, the reality of Christ can only be experienced and lived, not through an excess of knowledge. No, 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 no. You do well if we are exceeding in faith and in love. Faith in Christ and in love towards one another. The reality of God, there is reality. Do you know how many Christians do not have the reality of God? The reality of Christ. But they are Christians. They do not have the reality. Because that reality can only be experienced and lived. Please, experienced and lived through faith and through love. Through faith and love. Now, this is the faith that manifests itself in miracles, in signs, and in wonders in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. However, friends, the signs and the miracles and the wonders are not the aim of our faith. A true child of God does not aim for miracles, signs, and wonders. The aim of our faith is to experience Him. Our faith is focused, is directed towards experiencing Him. The aim of our faith is to experience Him. Now, the miracles, the signs, and the wonders are merely offshoots, natural consequences of our faith in Him. But the aim, the focus, the goal of our faith is to experience Him, to have the reality of Him, the reality of Jesus, the reality of the Holy Spirit, the reality of the life in Christ, the reality of our new nature, the new life in Him, in Christ Jesus, the reality, that's key, the reality, because that's really what makes you a true believer, a true Christian, to have that realized within you. It's not something that you just talk about. It's what you are and you have experience of it. This is why the Bible says the Holy Spirit, He testifies with our spirit. Can you see that reality? That's an experience. The Holy Spirit, He testifies, He bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Now that's an experience. That's a reality. A child of God would have that reality. A child of God would have that experience. The Holy Spirit bearing witness with my spirit. That indeed I'm a child of God. You see, this life has got to be lived, has got to be experienced. While we are still in the Message Bible, let us quickly go through, let us quickly go to Mark 11, 22 through 25, the Message Bible says, Jesus was a matter of fact. Embrace this God life. I love that. God life. Really embrace it and nothing will be too much for you. Really embrace it, this God life, and nothing will be too much for you. This mountain, for instance, just say, go jump in the lake. No shuffling or hemming and hawing. And it's as good as done. That's why I urge you to pray for absolutely everything, ranging from small to large. Include everything as you embrace this God life. And listen, and you'll get God's everything. You'll get God's everything. What is he trying to tell us? He's saying that the result of the life of faith in God, the result of the life of faith in God. You see, faith, the result of the life of faith in God is that, number one, nothing will be too much for us, nothing will be too hard for us, nothing will be impossible for us. And number two, he says, and we will get God's everything. Nothing too much, nothing too hard, nothing impossible. And number two, we will get God's everything. Now, nothing is impossible. God says, I'll give you everything if you walk in sincere faith in me. Now we continue. We're dealing with faith there, right? We're going to see both faith and love in this scripture. Now it says, and when you assume the posture of prayer, remember that it's not all asking. If you have anything against someone, if you have anything against someone, forgive, forgive. Ah, there comes love. There comes love. Forgive, only then will your heavenly Father be inclined to also wipe your slate clean of this. He's talking about love. The Lord Jesus Christ, directly after talking about faith, he talks about love. All right? Because love forgives. Love forgives. Love forgives. So, friends, lack of love for one another, or lack of love for all believers, lack of love for all believers makes this God life that we just read about, makes this God life, its power and its benefits impossible in our lives. The lack of love for one another. Remember, he says something great. He says, if you have anything against someone, forgive them. Only then will your heavenly Father be inclined to also wipe your slate clean of sins. Lord, my goodness, if I don't forgive someone, neither will the Lord forgive me. Oh, man, that's a point to really stop and ponder, because that's huge. That's really huge. And if God doesn't forgive me at that point, that means at that point I belong not in the kingdom of God, but in the kingdom of the devil. In that instance, I don't belong to him, but I belong to the devil. That means in that instance, the devil can do anything that he desires with me. Because my sin remains. The devil can do nothing without sin. It comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but through sin. Can you see? Can you see that? Now the lack of love for all believers makes this God life, its power and its benefits impossible for us. I mean, you can stand there and say, in the name of Jesus, this and this, nothing will ever happen. You can say to this mountain, to this river, whatever, move, do this, without walking in love towards not some believers or the believers in your church or the believers in your clique, or the believers in a WhatsApp group. No, all true, authentic children of God. because that's what we call the body of Christ. That means if you are hating on one, just one single tiny child of God, you are hating on the entire body of Christ. That means at that point you are walking in hate towards Jesus himself. Because the body of Christ is not the body of Christ without each and every believer. The body of Christ is the body of Christ with each and every believer, not even one believer left out. Now, if you have not forgiven a believer, whatever you are harboring within, you think you're harboring it against that one believer, but you're harboring it against Jesus, you're harboring it against God, you're harboring it against the body of Christ. It is that real. It is that intense. That is why he says, if you have not forgiven, I won't forgive you. Because you're hating on me. You're hating on my Father. You're hating on my body. You are undermining and nullifying. You are undermining and nullifying in your own life everything that my Father has done for you through me. And right now you're not walking in love. Neither are you walking in faith. And these are the pillars, the cornerstones of our Christian faith. Am I talking to somebody? Lack of love, therefore, makes a mockery, makes a shame, makes fake the Christian life. It makes a mockery on it. As a child of God, if you're not walking in love towards each and every born again believer, we are making a mockery of our Christian faith. We are making a sham of our Christian faith. It's fake. Everything is fake then. If we're not walking in faith and we are not walking in love, church, there is no Christian life without these two. Without sincere faith and true love for all the saints, we make Christianity a mockery. Faith expresses, the Bible says, faith, and we'll read it shortly, faith expresses itself through love. Faith expresses itself through love, but we also know that faith has got works, faith has actions, faith does. And we also know that faith without works is dead. In other words, faith works through love. Faith can do nothing without love. So the works of faith are the works of love. Faith works through love. Faith without works is dead. Faith without actions is dead. Faith does. The works of faith are the works of love, because faith works through love. Faith works by love. I love the King James says, faith works by love. Without love, your faith is dead. Without love, your faith is dead. It's that intense. It's that real. It's that deep. If it is. Faith, therefore, friends, faith is love in action. Faith is love in action. Therefore, faith without love is dead. Now, the only reason we fail to manifest God and the love of God, the only reason that we may fail to manifest God, to manifest the love of God, it is because of our failure to live a life of faith and love. All of us who are desiring that we would manifest the supernatural life, that we would manifest God, all right? Bring God on the scene. You cannot, it's impossible without faith and without love. Totally, absolutely impossible. Without faith and without love. Not without love, no, without faith and love. Why? Because faith without love is dead. Faith works by love. All right? The works of faith are the works of love. Faith can do nothing without love. Absolutely nothing. Now, this we see why. That as children of God, we fail to manifest the life of Christ, the life of God, the God life in the Message Bible, the God life, and to manifest God. We ought, the God is supposed to manifest himself through us as and when he desires, but without us walking in faith and love, that cannot take place. It cannot take place. God cannot, may not manifest himself through such a person, through such a Christian who is not walking in faith and in love towards each and every believer. Each and every believer. What can hinder the God life? It's not the 3, the 5, the 10, the 12 believers that we have a problem with. No, 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 no. One. It's that one. One, only one, only. Hinders, absolutely, totally hinders the God life, our supernatural life. Now we notice that no matter what we try to do, everything is natural. There's nothing supernatural here. There's nothing that comes against or over the natural for us to give us results. Is that one person, that one child of God, not many, that one. You do not need to like someone to love them. You do not need to like someone to love them. Liking and loving are two different things. God has never asked, there is no command, there's no instruction in the scriptures for us to like one another. Let us leave the business of trying to like people. We are in the business of loving the children of God. Love the children of God. That means whether I like you or not, whether I feel chemistry or not, whether there's something about you that I think, you know, it rubs me the right way. It doesn't matter. Love. Love. Because this is a blood washed. It is a blood washed child of God. How can you not love that which the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed? How can you, if you say you're a Christian, you're a child of God, you belong to Jesus, how can you not love that which his blood has washed? This is the part where Paul says, I pray for wisdom and revelation. He says, I pray for you for wisdom and revelation. Now that you have so much faith in Christ and you walk in love towards all the believers, now I'm praying day and night to my Father that he may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Wisdom and revelation that you may not walk in blindness. You may not walk in the foolishness of the spirit, of your spirit, of your minds. Knowing that just one person, having issues with one person, not walking in love towards that one believer, will hinder the whole God life in your life. Now that's the wisdom he's talking about. The wisdom and the revelation. That you may be discerning in the spirit and not fall easy victim to the devil. Not fall easy victim to Satan. From the NIV, Galatians 5:6. From the NIV. Are we there, friends? Galatians 5:6 says in the NIV, for in Christ Jesus, it's a powerful scripture. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. The only thing in Christ, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. In Christ, nothing has any value, nothing counts for anything, nothing accomplishes anything, nothing makes any difference, nothing carries any weight, nothing amounts to anything, nothing is anything. In Christ, nothing has any value, nothing counts for anything, nothing accomplishes anything, nothing makes any difference at all. Nothing carries any weight. Nothing amounts to anything. In Christ, nothing is nothing but faith, except for faith expressing itself through love. Except for faith expressing itself through love. In Christ, nothing is anything. Everything is vanity. Everything is performance. Everything else other than this is unrecognized by God the Father, unrecognized by God the Son, unrecognized by God the Spirit. They don't know it. They don't know it. It's not known in heaven. It's known in hell, but never in heaven. If we Christians do not live a life of faith, if we Christians do not live a life of faith that expresses itself in our acts of love to one another, if we Christians, we do not live a life of faith that expresses itself in our acts of faith to one another, whatever we say or do is vanity. Whatever we say or do in the Spirit, as far as God is concerned, it's useless. Except it is faith working through love. In 1 Corinthians, we're not going to read there, you know the passage of Scripture. According to 1 Corinthians 13, the word of the Lord says, tongues without love are mere noise before God. Karabo, shete, kodaba, whatever. He says, without love, it's mere noise to God. It's mere noise. He says, it's just noise. Noise without any effect whatsoever. Prophecy without love is vanity. It is nothing of nothing. It's just nothing upon nothing, multiplied by nothing. It is absolutely nothing. Understanding all mysteries and possessing all knowledge without love is nonsense. Trying to understand mysteries, reading the Bible for some knowledge or whatever, is pure nonsense without love. What love are we talking about? Love for the next person, the next believer. Each and every believer. Whether you like them or not, God has never asked you to like them. He told you to love them. For all you know, there are a lot of us that God does not even like, but he loves. Mountain moving faith without love is nothing. It says you can even move mountains. But without love, he says, that is absolutely nothing. Charity, works of love without, whatever you do for love without love does not profit. Charity without love does not profit. All spiritual gifts without love are meaningless. That's what Paul was teaching through the Holy Spirit. It says, all the gifts that you want, tongues, interpretation, you want what? Gift of faith, miracle signs and wonders, gift of healing, gift of prophecy, gift of discernment. He says, all of these things without love, it is useless, it is nonsense, it is vanity. Without love, because love is the root, the cornerstone, faith and love. Friends, faith works by love. Faith manifests itself through love. Faith expresses itself in love. Faith works by love. Faith manifests itself through love. Faith expresses itself in love. God just gave us a summary, a synopsis. To say the supernatural life is only possible through faith and love. Whatever you desire from God, whatever you desire in God, says exceedingly great power because you are walking in faith and love. Exceedingly great power. The riches of the glory of Christ, that inheritance in the saints. It says, oh, that awesome, astounding, outstanding blessedness. Every manner of blessing, blessed with all spiritual blessings, the Bible tells us. But this is not possible apart from faith and love. According to his power, he's given us to us all things that pertain unto life and to godliness. Nothing is too hard. Nothing is too much for us. Nothing is impossible for us. But how? By faith and by love. We can only represent Jesus Christ when we walk in faith and love. Only. He walked in faith and love when he was here on earth. And none of us has ever done beyond what he has done. And no one can. I mean, we're limited by the thing that we read. And the Bible says everything that Christ did is not limited to what is written down. It's so much that he did that they could not write it down. Now imagine how much the Holy Spirit can do with you, with me, in you, in me, through you, through me, if we can really walk in sincere faith and genuine, real, true love. Imagine. Instead of fighting one another, we forgive one another. Like I told you last week, you don't need to go to the person and say, I forgive you. No, 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 you forgive from the heart. Imagine how much God, Jesus Christ, Jesus, as fully man here on earth, he walked in faith towards his Father, and he walked in love towards humanity. He was the manifestation of the love of God, for God so loved the world. He was that he was love manifested. Now you saw the works of love. When you talk about the miracles that Jesus Christ did, you talk about the wonders and the signs that followed him. These are works of love. If you read about the knowledge, the understanding that Apostle Paul is given concerning love, then you can understand when he tells you that he walks in love, he walked in love, you can understand when this man tells you that I walked in the serious power of God. But there's no serious power of God unless one is given an understanding of the love of God. It's the love. There are a lot of pastors, there are a lot of churches that are using occultic, diabolic, satanic, dark powers. All right? In the name of healing people, people falling down, all of this. No, 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 no. There is real power in God. And the real power in God can only manifest through love. Faith works by love. Remember, without faith, you can receive nothing from the Father. And this faith we're talking about, this faith, it works through love. It works by love. That means if we're truly walking in faith and walking in love, there is nothing that the Lord may not be able to do for us, in us, through us. Absolutely. We become very, very effective vessels and servants and children of God, knowing him. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit, please, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge. Everything else flows out of this. No, knowledge of him. The wisdom we talk about, we dealt with the wisdom in this ministry. There was a series in wisdom. No, no. We are talking about the wisdom primarily. The wisdom primarily and essentially to know him. To know him. This understanding, this knowledge that you're talking about is as regard to his knowledge. It is as regards to knowing him, knowing, walking in faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and in love. Love. Why are Christians biting each other's ears off? Because they're walking in blindness, in darkness, in the foolishness of their heads. And this has everything to do with the enemy. Satan is afraid, very afraid of you. Satan is very afraid of the church. Satan is very afraid of the children of God who walk in faith and love. He's extremely. He could not touch Jesus. The Lord says, the ruler of this world is coming, but he has nothing on me. That means he cannot touch me, because the devil cannot touch a child of God who's walking in faith and love. Okay? Can't touch. He can't stop you. Can't defeat you. That child of God becomes invincible to Satan. Satan can't defeat that child of God. He can try, but he cannot. He tried with the Lord Jesus Christ. We know he tempted him several times. The Bible says so. He left him for an opportune time. So he must have tempted him several times. But each time he failed. The only way to defeat Satan is to walk in faith and to walk in love. Walk in faith. That's true victory. Last week, Sunday, we were talking about victory. Now, God is telling us how to walk in it. How to walk. It is by faith and by love. By faith and by love. Now, it's all these things. The power. When the Holy Spirit spontaneously, oh my kondeshayada, when the Holy Spirit spontaneously, he decides to manifest himself through you, because you are a vessel walking in faith and in love, he spontaneously, it does not matter where you are. Now as I close, how many children of God have you got qualms with? How many children of God do you not see eye to eye with? How many children of God do you not speak with, you don't talk with? How many children of God that honestly, if you were to cross paths, you would choose to go another route? If the lift was open for both of you, you would wait for the next one. And there is the self-manarchy that will come and pray in tongues and lift your hands. The one who could not. And why don't you pay attention to this? Because the devil does not want us to pay attention to it. Because that's where his stronghold is. We can preach, we can teach, but the root is faith and love. The actual growth, when you talk about spiritual growth, the actual spiritual growth is growing in faith and love. There's no other growth. There's no other spiritual growth for a child of God. Now you can finally understand why such a powerful prayer came, because it was because of their faith and their love. It was that condition. And the Holy Spirit prompted him to pray for them in this manner. Let's clap hands for Jesus today.